Hebrews chapter 10, we'll begin our reading at verse 19. And read down through verse 25. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And may the Lord bless his holy word to all of our hearts this morning. And let's pray, please. Our gracious God, we thank thee for the privilege of gathering together in Christ's name, and that we have our Bibles and we can read the Holy Scriptures together, look to thy word, and Father, how we need the work of the Spirit, the enabling that the word would be given in truth, and that our hearts would be prepared as good ground to receive the good seed. And we know, Father, that we all need that which we cannot do for ourselves. We need a work of grace. And we're open before thee, and we pray for thy rich blessing. Thou would be pleased to use this time to enable us to draw nigh to thee, and thou would draw nigh to us, and that the Lord Jesus will be exalted. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And this is a passage that is given to us by the Holy Spirit, filled with glorious teaching. It is the application of what has gone before in Hebrews, where Christ is exalted, his office, his great work. He is worthy of all exaltation. The epistle has to do with saints, Jewish saints being tempted to go back to the Old Testament. And so we have this glorious description of Christ. Truths that are so precious to us. And I'm 71 years old now. I just want you to know they're getting more precious. And the closer we get to heaven, the more we understand, we need the Lord Jesus. He said in John 15, verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. You know what I think that means? I think it means just what Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I also believe what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Brothers and sisters, we're not in a spiritual hospital. We're not lying down on the bed, taking our pulse, seeing how well we feel or how badly we feel today. We're on a battlefield. And the Lord's called us to a glorious battle where the victory is certain. And we're looking to the captain of our salvation. Now, out of those verses, I'm going to concentrate on one verse that we just read, and this will be a combination of charge to the congregation and a charge to Pastor McKnight. And because we're supposed to do that, so I thought I'd put it all in one sermon here. And I hope it works all right. But we're going to attempt to exalt Christ here this morning, because he's the answer. We all know it. We're not sufficient for these things, but he is all sufficient. Let's look, please, at verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God. And we need to understand a few things about this text. First, it's, of course, speaking of the Lord Jesus. He's called here an high priest. And if we were to examine the received text, I don't like to get into Greek and all that, but this is important in understanding this text. It is the word priest followed by the adjective great. And we have a great priest. Of course, he's our high priest as well. What are the three offices that Christ as mediator? What are his three offices? Don't answer. Maybe we're Presbyterians. We don't talk in them. Well, he's prophet, priest, and king. The old preachers, when they lifted up Christ, and a poor sinner was led of the Spirit of God to repent of sin and to look to the only Redeemer. He received him as prophet, priest, and king. There are many Christs that are proclaimed today. It's only the Christ of this Bible that's going to save our souls. And we receive him as our prophet. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. The Lord Jesus was revealed in Deuteronomy chapter 18. You can start at verse 15. You will see there the great prophecy that the Messiah who was to come would be like unto Moses. He would be a prophet. Now, I learned in 1 Peter chapter 1 that the Spirit of the Lord Jesus was in the Old Testament prophets. How about that? In other words, Old and New Testament, we have the Lord Jesus, not just the red letters, all of Scripture. And the Lord Jesus speaks to his people. You know what it is to be burdened and in agony. You don't know which way to turn. Maybe like I have. I was looking at the pew where I usually preach, because I have kneeled down on that pew so many times and been in distress. Didn't know what to do. I don't really recommend this, but just don't tell anybody. But sometimes I just open the Bible, start reading. You know, I don't have a plan. I don't know what I'm going to read, but I'm just going to read. And there's been many a time I've gotten up off my knees. I can't explain it, but peace in my soul. I think many of you in this room, you have found that joy, that peace. You've opened God's Word. You didn't have to necessarily be on your knees, or a verse came to your heart, but you know that the Lord is your prophet. This is the way, walk ye in it. It may be the difficult way, the hard way that brings a lot of trouble. I think the last time I preached here, I preached on do right even if stars fall. We need to hear the voice of the shepherd as a church. Our brother needs to preach the word of God faithfully. And I suspect we say these things, but it's more than preacher talk. To preach God's words faithfully, how does that happen? Now, I hope I'm going to get this right, but I want to tell you something Apostle Paul revealed by the Holy Spirit. Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. In them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and unto the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Do you think this man needs your prayers? No. I hope I heard a great silent Presbyterian amen to that. Every pastor does. Sun's going down for me, and the old preacher said I'm going to quicken my pace, so I try not to mince words. But what I'm doing more than I ever have is praying. And I'm convinced we preachers need prayer. We need to pray ourselves. We need to spend much time on our knees to know what it is to commune with the living God. Pour our hearts out. Are you following me on this? I mean, really praying. Now you have to get in trouble to know the joy of being delivered from it by prayer, but I understand some of y'all have been through some problems here. Our churches are going through struggles. Without Christ, we can do nothing. And it's almost enough to make me very joyful. You know what's happening? We don't have anywhere else to go but to the Lord. All our devices and we need organization and we need these things, but you know, we've gone overboard on these things. We need Christ. We need to know what it is to pray, to really pray. We need to pray for our children. We love them. When you think of the horrible wickedness of this day, Now, I look back, it's hard to believe I was a teenager once. And it's astounding, I can tell you, that I'm standing in a pulpit right now. I had a mother that prayed for me. Well, wait a minute, preacher. What about predestination? Doesn't the Lord already know how it's all going to turn out? So why should we pray? God knows the beginning. He knows the end. He knows everything in between. He's planned it all out. But God has also ordained that he will use prayer. There's your answer. And we have not because we ask not. Well, this is really bad. I didn't pull my watch out. And I'm just getting started, but and there's no clock. Did y'all trust Pastor Bird that much? He didn't put a clock in there. I tell you, my elders, they have a great big old clock. I got to look at it every... I am going to try to be timely. I can't talk as fast as you do. It's hard for a southerner. This is full speed, okay? But don't we have a wonderful Savior? Isn't he all sufficient? Enables us to pray. Gives us the strength. You're sitting here this morning, your heart's beating, you're breathing. The Lord's kept you. And I just want to tell you, it's only going to get better. That day's approaching. Christ is our prophet. He is a great priest that ever lives to make intercession for us. There's a great truth, and I just want to inject this at this point. And hear me out. The Lord Jesus said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Now that's from John 6, verse 37. But before he said that, he said, all that the Father giveth me, what? Will come unto me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now that part of election, and the Lord knows his people. He knows his sheep by name. He cannot fail nor be discouraged. He will build his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's no deceit in his mouth. He will do what he said. I mean, after all, brother, sister, he conquered your hard heart. Brought you to repentance. Brought you to saving faith. But him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. In all the history of the world, there's never been an individual truly gone to Christ that he cast him out. There's never been a man drop into hell clinging to Christ. Now, I'm always very quick to say, you know, I'm Presbyterian. I'm very quick to say this. That individual doesn't know it this side of heaven. He'll find out when he gets to heaven. It wasn't his clinging to Christ. It was Christ clinging to him. Amen. Salvation is of the Lord. But this all-sufficient Savior of ours. came into this world for a purpose, gave himself on the old rugged cross. He's a great priest. The sacrifice he offered was what all the Old Testament sacrifices looked towards. You remember John the Baptist? My mother was Baptist. She thought John the Baptist was the first Baptist. You can't argue with your mother. So it's John the Baptizer, all right. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. This is the one we preach. This great priest gave himself on Calvary's cross. The agonies that he suffered, we cannot understand. Christ is truly man, he's truly God. Who is the Redeemer of God's elect? The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God became man, and so was and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. We do not pray to Christ in his humanity, then pray to Christ in his deity. He's one person. But he's truly man, he's truly God. As man, he took my place. Ought to be burning in hell. He's satisfied the penalty. It's a legal transaction, a penalty for all my sin. And each sin demands the payment of an infinite penalty. Everybody knows what infinite means, right? I don't. But infinite means without limit. Who can understand that? Everything we have is finite. We're finite. Angels are finite. Everything created is finite. Only God is infinite. And what I'm trying to tell you is our great high priest who gave himself for us satisfied an infinite penalty that the broken law demands for each of our sins. A penalty that's without limit. How could he do that? Well, as man, he took my place, but as God, and God alone is infinite. Brother and sister, I hope this will go down deep in your soul and you get a good night's sleep. And you know this is true. He paid the infinite penalty, brother and sister, for every sin. Original, actual. Sins past, sins present, sins future. Amen, amen. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now that's enough to make a Presbyterian smile. The price was paid in full, and that work is over. Now, are you clinging to Christ? That's him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's not just for the initial looking to Christ for salvation. Brother and sister, we are to do that we ought to do it every day. But that will take you right on through until you see him face to face. He'll not cast you out. That's enough for me. I mean, I want to cast myself out. I look in the mirror, see my worst enemy. And he's our king, this great high priest. Who's the head of this church? Well, I love the silence. Y'all are wonderful. Jesus Christ is the head of his church. The pastor is an under-shepherd. His office and the office of the elders, that office is a declarative office. It is not a legislative office. What does that mean? It means that the elders and the pastor, that they do not make up their own laws. They are here to declare what this holy book says. Why? Because Christ is the head of his church, that's why. He governs his church. Now, if you look at that text, once again, verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, over, what does that mean? Over, it means that this high priest rules, governs this house of God. And what is this house of God? It is the church militant and the church triumphant. He's head of it all. I think some of you can sense I could make this a very long sermon, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to give you just a few things here, because all of you need to be aware of the covenanters. I expect Mr. Everett has made some reference to the covenanters from time to time. I can't believe it just warmed my heart to be singing from a psalter. And this was 1600s, 50-year time of persecution for the covenanters. They weren't severely persecuted during that whole time, but it's a good way to remember it. From 1638 to 1688, there will be a test after this. I want to make sure. But it will thrill your heart to read the faithfulness of these ones who were hunted down like animals. You think you have troubles? I have troubles. Now, I got to be careful, because we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. Please don't misunderstand what I just said. Yes, we do have troubles. But it comforts my heart sometimes to go back to read of those who were persecuted, who were hung at the gallows, thousands during that time, because they would not recognize the king and vow absolute allegiance to him, because included in that vow would not only be recognizing him as the head of civil government, but as the head of the church. You remember the Church of England? You remember how they got rid of the Pope? Remember how they made themselves another Pope, and that was the king. You ever heard of King Henry VIII? Okay, that's giving you a little background. These folks who were so horribly persecuted. And they ended up, what you hear about mostly are the ones from 1680 to 1688, called the Killing Times. And it got so bad they had to split up in societies. But those are the ones that stood true to the Lord Jesus. They acknowledged him as king. There were four particular areas, and like I say, I can't try to develop this, we'll be here all afternoon, and you really will get tired of me then. But four particulars. Christ reigns over, number one, doctrine. Christ reigns over, now doctrine would also include practice, but it's the teaching of God's word. Worship. Does worship matter? A lot of people have forgotten or never taught. Part of the Reformation was not just getting the doctrine from the scripture, it was true worship according to the word of God. The next is discipline. Doing what's right. Seeking to keep Christ's church pure. And reclaiming those who turn away from the Lord. And government, church government, which nobody pays any attention to these days. But is Christ king over the government of the church? And the pastor, the elder, occupy a declarative office that the king has given us. All that we need right here in this book. He rules over the house of God. He has given. Are you sure, preacher? I'm sure. I've been reading this book. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In other words, Christ intended us to go by this holy book, and this book is sufficient for us, come what may. Doesn't matter about computers or the deep state. Christ is king, and he's to reign in this congregation, and he's to reign over our brother. And this poor struggling preacher too. Great is his faithfulness. And when you have the blessing of Christ, it's like the disciples there in the boat ready to sink, and Christ was sleeping, and they woke him up. Carest thou not that we perish? And the Lord rebuked them for what? Little faith. They weren't going under. They thought they were. But that's what the Lord will do to us. But what a merciful, kind, loving Savior. And he must reign to put all enemies under his feet. I know who's going to win the battle. I just want to be on the right side. And the victory is certain through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're thankful we can bow before thee, our God. We praise thee for the love that sent the Lord Jesus, for the unspeakable gift. Draw us all to him. Father, there may be some in this gathering yet to know the joy of resting their souls upon Christ. We pray for that work of the Holy Spirit that would effectually draw that one to the only Redeemer. And Father, strengthen the hands of thy people. Encourage your hearts. Pray that they'll feast on the word of God. Learn even more what it is to cry out to thee and to know that thou dost hear and thou dost answer. That ask and will receive, that seek and will find, and knock and it shall be opened unto us, Father. That's our word. And we pray now for thy blessing as we continue this time, this installation. And we want to do all these things to thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.